How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. A year of war in Ukraine, war in Europe, war in the global north, and unanswered questions about the immediate future. However, one question, which was answered some year ago by the International Olympic Committee, is now a puzzle. I welcome Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. This is the Carnegie Endowment of International Peace. Judy is based in Berlin. The change from 2022 to 2023 is the IOC banned Russian and Belarusian athletes from competing in international competitions, including the 2024 Olympics to be held in Paris next year. Now there is some wiggle room by the IOC, something about a workaround. Judy, a very good day to you. What is it the IOC is now proposing, and what would it look like at the Olympics next year? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John, and thank you for having me on your show. As always, it's always a delight. So the latest proposal is that athletes from the Russian Federation and from Belarus might be able to participate in the Olympics, but without the Russian flag, without the Belarusian flag, without the respective national anthems, a kind of neutrality. But they, nevertheless, they will be Russian and Belarusian athletes participating. And this is causing a big uproar among some European countries and in some countries outside Europe as well, given what Russia has actually done to Ukraine.
Yes, you list some statistics that are shocking. 220 athletes and coaches of the Ukrainian National Olympic Committee team have died in the war. 340 sports facilities have been destroyed or damaged. That alone seems significant enough for the IOC to have to confront that we're not dealing with a level playing ground here. Russia's murdering Ukraine's participation. But I also note the irony that there are many objections outside the IOC. We need to think a little bit about the IOC. Is this the same gang that got in trouble over the last Olympics? Have they changed themselves significantly? I don't know the politics of these recent years.
Well, the politics of these recent years is just so tied up with political developments, whether it was the Winter Olympics in Sochi or the Olympics in China, or whether they should have the Summer Olympics in Japan because of COVID. But essentially, this is a big issue about having the Olympics hosted by authoritarian regimes. Of course, we saw the World Soccer Tournament being held in Qatar. But in the case of Russia participating in these Olympics to be scheduled 2024 in Paris, given the background of what Russia has done, the extreme brutality in Ukraine, in some ways it goes against the complete charter of the IOC, which says, well, athletes should be invited and attend on the basis of non-discrimination. Well, frankly, the Ukrainians have been discriminated against completely over this last brutal year of war. So there's quite an outcry now on the reversal of the IOC. And you wonder why. Now they're proposing, as you say, wriggle room. And you wonder what kind of lobbies are working inside the IOC to allow the Russian and Belarusian athletes to participate, which would actually give them a measure of legitimacy.
Ukraine is upset, but there are other voices weighing in here, including the United Nations Human Rights Council, which has zero credibility. But I mentioned that it's decided to say that this is objectionable. Paris. Does it get a vote? Moscow, does it get a vote? Are we early days here, Judy?
We're early days. I'm glad you bring up the UN, the Human Rights Council, because it has zero backbone and credibility. It sits in Geneva. And they actually opposed the original suggestion that the IOC should ban the participation of Russian and Belarusian athletes. And now, if several weeks ago, they said, well, this is discriminatory and it goes against the charter of the IOC. Well, excuse me. I mean, what is discriminatory? Now, that's the one side of it. And so the IOC suddenly bent over and says, yes, well, now the human rights organization says this is not a good thing, that we should ban them. On the other hand, we have Poland, we have the Baltic states, and now joined by Sweden and Finland and Norway and other countries saying their national Olympic councils are saying, no way should these athletes participate. Leaving aside the question of the athletes themselves, it's a question of where they are trained. And there have been reports that most of these athletes from Russia and Belarus belong to the state-controlled associations and the defense ministry and the interior ministry. So they are in some ways, if you want to interpret, linked to the whole war apparatus.
There is always irony when you deal with the Olympics. And you note that the president of the IOC at this moment is Thomas Bach, whom I didn't know until I read your column. He's a German national, introducing the irony of 1936 and also the suspension of the Olympics through the war years. Is there talk of suspending the Olympics entirely? Europe is at war, Judy. It's difficult to come to another conclusion.
It hasn't got to this stage in the least. The conversation at the moment is the IOC taking a stand and saying publicly and unambiguously that Russian and Belarusian athletes should not be allowed to participate. And so the IOC is dithering. And this is already February 2023, and the Olympics is, what, 16, 18 months away in Paris. So there's big pressure on Thomas Bach and the whole Olympic Committee. A lot will depend on the National Olympic Committees, and we'll have to see what France does and, of course, what the United States will do as well.
It's impossible to think of the Olympics as not a competition between sovereign powers. I'm not quite sure what it means that you can participate, but not as a representative of Russia. Who would you be representing? I mean, what the Olympics are not set up for. Well, to my knowledge, they're not set up for individual behavior, you know, superstars calling attention to themselves. It's an expression of a national effort to train athletes. It's very expensive to deliver those athletes and to celebrate sport in individual countries. Now, it's several times removed from the original imagination of the Greek Games. But at this point, what is your sense? Let's be specific. What is your sense of Germany? The German public, does it believe this should go forward with some kind of what you'd have to say half-hearted workaround?
It's interesting. The established newspapers like the conservative, center-conservative serious newspaper, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, says it's a disgrace, this proposal to allow athletes from Russia and Belarus to participate. Firstly, and secondly, the German sections of the of big German athletic associations are absolutely against this participation. They see it every night what Russia is doing, so the mood may harden. But at the moment, the consensus if there is a consensus in Germany and among the other national Olympic committees, it hasn't coalesced sufficiently to put pressure on the IOC. And the IOC is such a non-transparent organization over the decades. But what has happened over the past several years, because of conflicts, because of controversy, but also because of the role of the lobbyists and the pressure and the money and the advertisers and everything else, it's become a kind of a dual competition between the exact talent of athletes on the one hand and the extraordinary pressure of the lobbyists and networks to get these games off the ground and make money.
Judy Dempsey is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe, raising a story that is ahead of us. This is going to dominate the news in 2024 until there's a definitive decision. And even then, we can imagine if the war continues that long, but if the war ends in a ceasefire and there's rebuilding, there will still be a challenge to the assumption the IOC can carry on as if there wasn't a war or isn't a war. Judy Dempsey's in Berlin, and there's news in Berlin that may very well attach itself to the European opinion of the war in Ukraine, now coming to its first year of horror. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and America's largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal law enforcement agencies through our many varied programs, including free safety equipment donations, free officer survival training, cash donations, and condolence letters to the family of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty. USDSA also offers college scholarships for the dependent children of law enforcement, along with the Citizen Awareness Program and thank you cards to law enforcement. These are just some of the ways United States Deputy Sheriff's Association assists America's law enforcement and the citizens they serve. For more information about United States Deputy Sheriff's Association or to see how you can help, visit www.usdeputy.org. United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, taking training to the next level, because lives are on the line.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.